Agent Lainey Sullivan here for Rooted in Revenue. We are back together again, and we have moved on to number four. Hiring a generalist or a specialist.
So as business owners, and I see it all the time on social media, especially in Facebook, I need a VA. I need an assistant. How do I hire an assistant? How do I hire a VA? What's a good VA? Somebody said, how do I know what's a good VA? I was like, I actually wrote a post about a good VA, because I think that's the, how do you determine whether somebody's good or not? So anyway, hiring a VA is key, and also not necessarily the first thing that you want to do in your business. I think VAs are awesome. So I'm going to put all my caveats and all my disclosures up front. I love VAs. I have two of them. I love OBMs. They are not your specialists, though. So a VA is a virtual assistant, if you don't know. An OBM is an online business manager, which is, in my personal opinion, a glorified VA that you're just paying more money to. And so for all of you VAs and OBMs who now officially hate me, I've been saying this for years, though, so it is what it is. But a VA and an OBM, they are typically your generalists. They can do all of the tasks. Your OBMs, depending on their skill sets, can have more specific or strategic skills and knowledge and ability, but you got to figure it out if they do or not. And sometimes they say they do and then they don't.
Right.
And then the same with the VA. Like, you could hire a VA who actually has really good strategic ability and actually has skill sets that are more specialized than generalized. But typically, I'm going to go very broad here. VAs and OBMs are your generalists, with the exception to that rule that some of us have found within our teams that we've hired. You don't always need a VA.
No.
And you don't always need an OBM. Sometimes you need a marketing person. Sometimes you need somebody who is just a graphic designer, or maybe you need a full-fledged social media person. But is that social media person a graphic designer who says they're a social media person, or are they truly a social media person that knows how to look at all of the analytics, how to follow the algorithms and is watching the changes, all of those things? Or are you needing to hire an ops specialist versus a COO? Because there's both. There's people who go in and they just, all they do is integrate your systems and processes, but they don't have any strategic ability. They can't see the big picture versus the 1,000-foot view in front of you, right? So there's a 30,000-foot view, and then there's the details. So sometimes they can just see the details and be like, oh, I need to connect those two pieces of technology, and I can do that for you, versus where are you going in the next 3 to 5 years?
Right.
And what does that strategic process look like? So hiring a generalist versus hiring a specialist is really important for you to pay attention to in your business. And when we say hiring, it can be a contractor or an employee, depending on your business structure. Talk to your accountant and your HR people and your legal for all of those things, because we're not talking about that today.
Nope. We've given our opinions, and I was very strong, and that's about it on that.
Yes.
But I feel I find there are times that I need both.
Uh-huh.
I need specialists, as we talked about with accounting, but there are marketing generalists.
There are.
And there are graphics generalists. Mm-hmm. They can do the bus wrappers, the billboards, and everything online. They can do digital marketing. They can do physical in-person marketing pieces and graphic pieces. So it's, what is the difference there? Because I like those generalists within those umbrellas, because I don't want, there is no way that a VA can do all my graphics, all my social, all this, all that, a little bit of everything, because they just aren't. And the social person, I want a generalist usually.
Mm-hmm.
But under that umbrella,
mm-hmm.
can they do a little bit of all of that? I don't care mm-hmm. if they can make my graphics, but can they make it all do something?
Right. Are they watching the trends? Are they yeah. paying attention? For me, the biggest difference is having the strategic, innovative, creative skill set is what separates them for me. Because if you are just a task taker,
right,
and you can't think beyond that task, and it's very clear when you start to work with people, You can tell, because you can tell that they just do the task, right, wrong, or indifferent. They don't catch the errors. They just do the task. They post the thing. They fill out the form, whatever it is. And then you find the errors later because they didn't look for them.
Right.
But you didn't tell them to look for them. So that's back on you. But they're not innovative. They're not looking. They're not forecasting. They're not looking at what the potential harm or good, bad, or indifferent that error might cause, right? Where a strategic person, whether they're a generalist and have strategy or specialist and have strategy, they're going to pay attention to the details a little bit more,
right?
They're going to go, oh, this reads weird, or this doesn't make sense, or you're saying to connect this piece of technology to this piece of technology, but I think we should go and do this and this instead. So you, depending on what you're hiring for and what you're looking for in your team, I honestly, like, I have two VAs. So don't get me wrong. I love having having VAs, but they're both generalists and they're both task oriented and they're great. They're amazing. I need them to be what they are because I need other people to be strategic in other areas of my business. And so I have three other strategic people in my business, and that covers all my bases.
It gets back to our tech stack discussion that we had last time. Whoever is your generalist or your specialist, I don't care which one it is, but whoever is dealing with those tools, you want somebody in there that isn't going to just take what you guys taught them 2 years ago and keep doing it. You want somebody that's going to be willing to go watch the new tutorials. What's new in this? What are the updates? What are the bugs? How are people using it differently?
Mm-hmm.
And to come back to you and say, this tool is, everybody hates it now.
Right.
We might have to reconsider something.
Yeah.
And to me, even with a generalist, if it's a tool they're using, make it part of the selection process. Will they do that?
Mm-hmm.
Do they feel brave enough to talk to you about that? Because sometimes when we hire generalists, it's at a different level, or even culturally, it's at a different level,
mm-hmm.
and you're not comfortable questioning.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to give them permission to question what you're using for the good of the company, for the good of the client.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that building the trust and all those conversations comes in. You need to have that, hey, I would love to hear from you on that. And get them relaxed, because for some of them, it's going to be such an foreign, uncomfortable thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so much fear wrapped up in that, that you can't let them be effective if they don't feel comfortable telling you the truth, asking things, questioning decisions, questioning tools, questioning methods, all of it. And I don't let them off the hook because they're a generalist. You can't.
Yeah.
I don't, if they can't bring that, they are not a match for me, because I don't have the time to, no spoon fed babies. I have said this for years, no spoon fed babies.
Mm-hmm. No, I call all my team, I call them all out when there's something wrong. They call me out. We have a fair exchange there, but it's not about being negative or being hard on somebody, but there's expectations of how we're delivering in business. And there's expectations of what I need them to do with that task. And so what I've learned to do is learned to be very clear when, especially when I know that there might be questions. So I try to be preemptive in my assignment of those tasks to go, here's what I'm looking for, and laying it out in great detail. And it might take me a little bit more effort to put that detail in there, but then I know, number one, it's going to get done the way I want it to get done. I'm also training that person to understand how I think and understand what I'm looking for. And so then they're going to, so I'm all about developing and empowering my team. I will pay for trainings and I will for myself, and I will have my team. I'll be like, this is accessible to you. So that you can go through and do this. I want them to be empowered. I want them to go from a generalist to a specialist if they so choose, but they can't move if you keep basically bulldogging them and pounding them down and telling them they're doing it all wrong. Like, you're not developing them the right way. They don't belong on your team. You're not helping them and they're not helping you. And it's just causing you angst and frustration and friction in your business.
I love something that I heard market dominance guys. I was editing their video yesterday, and they interviewed a recent college graduate who was going into sales. And Chris and Corey told this guy flat out, everybody always thinks that they are being hired by a company. Change that. You are hiring a boss, a company first that aligns with your ideals and what you can bring. And you are hiring a boss that will guide you, encourage you, and allow you to grow within that role. And I think we forget that. And so people, our VAs that we are thinking of hiring, they need to look at us that way too. That is this somebody
Absolutely.
I can work with? Is this somebody that can take it when I need to bring it up? Or what do I do when it's like that?
No, I just had a conversation today with another ops integrator. So she does the integration. I'm looking to expand my team. I don't need a strategist. I need somebody who can go through and do the integration and implementation and seeing, and it's this two-way street of I'm talking with her to see if she's a good fit. I was like, I just need to do a vibe check. I totally cyber stalked her. So from her, what she's speaking on, so I know she knows the lingo, I know she knows the terminology, she's using it accurately. So I'm like, I want to do a vibe check, but on both sides. Does she want to work with me? We have to have more conversations, but initially I'm like, this is a two-way street of I have work that I can outsource.
Right.
Is she interested in being outsourced to and working with another business at the level that I'm working at? And so it does go both ways for employees, for contractors, for partnerships, for collaborations. It's a two-way street. We're not just hiring them, they're also hiring us.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out for you, because when you are bringing somebody in at that level, they need to be able to morph into your company culture, your tone, your credibility, all of your integrity. And that is the vibe check as well, because you are bringing them in representing you. And they
That's
represent everybody that works for you.
yeah, and that's actually more important to me
Yeah.
than a skill set.
You can teach skills.
I can teach skills. I can teach them what I need them to. I can teach them our process. I can teach those things. I cannot teach the vibe. You gotta have the vibe, and you gotta be able to
Yeah,
run with it.
no weasels, no parasites.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you gotta keep it out. Oh.
So different areas you could hire specialists in. If you look through your business, it's marketing, it's sales, operations, social media. If you're in manufacturing, right? Manufacturing, distribution, fulfillment, those would be areas that you would actually hire both. You can look at hiring a specialist from a strategic perspective, and then you hire a generalist to do the work. Your generalists are your integrators. Your specialists are your visionaries. If you've ever read, what is it, Rocket Fuel and E-Myth by Michael Gerber, and I'm like, I could like Michael Michalowicz's book, what's his Clockwork. If you just read any of these operations types of books, they all talk about visionaries and integrators and creatives and integrators. And you need to have the visionary and you need to have somebody able to be able to integrate. And that's the difference between a specialist and a generalist. If we
Right.
really break it down, you as a business owner are typically a visionary, but also, according to Michael Gerber's process and how he thinks, you're a technician. You got into your business to do the thing that you love to do, whatever that service is that you're providing and that work is that you fell in love with and decided to start your business. You are the technician. And if you are a one-man shop, you are a self-employed employee.
Right.
And so you are the specialist and the generalist of everything. So this is why we're doing this part of the series of figure out your customer journey, figure out your processes, figure out how to love, hate, delegate the things, figure out your tech stack because you can develop your business more better. I
Yep.
just said better. have you guys missed
I
me?
missed you terribly.
This is how you develop your business is through these processes, and this is how you get out of being a technician. And again, most business owners are visionaries. They have all of these ideas they want to
Right.
implement, you've got to have somebody who can integrate. And you also want to be careful when you're hiring specialists. You don't want too much vision and too much creativity and too much innovation. So you need to have a balance of somebody feeding your own creativity and visionary space, because you'll start to just like jam on each other. And you're, by the time you're done, an hour later, you've got 20 different new projects going that nobody can implement. I have a client who does that. I have a client who did this to his team, and he had his own language of terminology, and he would have meetings and people would walk away from the meeting going, I have no idea what the fuck he just said. Because he was using his own, I called them Joelisms, and they were his own, it's his own language, his own terminology. And I'm like, what? Even I was like, dude, simplify, make it clear, make it transparent, learn how to communicate so your team can, because you need to take, this is another piece, and it's, I'm just going to say this, if you're speaking to your team and you're a visionary, speak in a way that they can translate and duplicate or replicate what you're saying down the path, either to a client or other team members. What you say and how you express yourself needs to be super clear that your generalist or your specialist or your client can understand what you're actually talking about and apply what you're talking about.
I was reading an article last Sunday, this just triggered that, about cause linguists. The ones who write languages for TV shows and movies.
Oh God.
And that's what it is. You should not be telling people things and they need a glossary to understand what that word. No new hire or new team member should need somebody to translate. Oh, when he says this, he means that. When he says this, he means that.
Yeah,
it's like when little kids, they look at a deck of cards.
Yeah.
Instead of saying spade, they say the shovel. The
yeah.
clubs, the clover. Learn what these things are called, because we all use the same word for it. You're the only one not using that word.
Yes. So you need to have that in your business and not overwhelm your business with strategy and visionary and creative projects.
Right.
Because your team cannot handle it. Your generalist is going to get lost. And your specialist isn't going to be able to articulate what needs to happen to your generalist, because they're just excited over here hanging out in the like clouds with you. And trust, I've seen it so many times. And I'm like, okay, we're going to back burner like half of these projects because these are not the priorities, because you're not even touching them. You're just super excited about them and they're not making you any money. Oh my gosh. Specialists and generalist people, be really intentional about what you're hiring, who you're hiring for. Go back to your love, hate, delegate. Figure out what you're delegating. We talked about in the last episode, figure out what you're delegating, who you're delegating it to, why you're delegating it, what skill sets do they have? Is it going to bring them joy? Just because you hate it, they might hate it too. It might not be the right mix. There's a lot of factors, and I don't want to make it sound more confusing. It's a simple conversation. Have the conversation, but be mindful and be intentional when you're doing these things. Don't just hire a freaking VA just because it sounds like a good idea.
And you have no idea what exactly you want them to do. They just have to do some of the stuff. I can't help but the visual I see, little backpacks with the leashes.
Oh my God, yes.
And so all your visionaries are on those and you're like,
yes,
hold them all together, keep them
yes.
from wandering
all
off.
All of my visionaries, I have to put on a leash. Every single one of them.
With their little monkey and backpack and their elephant backpack.
Okay, so I have a super small secret to admit. I might be my own version of a visionary too. So I have to, like, I'm sitting here ranting about visionaries.
You think? Tom said, oh my gosh. I can't even keep straight all the ideas and projects she has going.
Yeah. So my coach was like, what are you going to get into next, lady? I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, have I not known you for the last 10 years? And she, every time I turn around, you're into something, because I have created this amazing life that I live. And I don't create chaos. That's not what I create. I have no problem with risk, Susan. Susan's face. I know I have no problem with risk. So I'm willing to take a higher, faster risk than a lot of people are in a lot of different areas. And yes, I take on a variety of projects, but I have learned, This is what I've learned, and this might be a really great tip. It might be the only tip you take away from this is if I have a project and it's going nowhere and I'm still talking about it, but the process of movement is stalled and there is no progress, I start to understand that this is out of alignment for this moment in time. And so it might take me 6 months to realize it. It might take me 30 days. It might take me 2 months. The time doesn't matter. It's about when I finally realize that this, I'm still talking about this thing, but nothing has moved.
Right.
It's got to go on the back burner until alignment. So I've pulled projects on and off my back burner, move them forward. And like we've got it forward to another point, but it's got to go back again. Oh, we got it. So it's okay to be a visionary and it's okay to have 1,000 ideas, but you also have to realize that not everything is for right now. So write the idea down, put some things in place on it. And if it's not moving forward, don't force it. Cause when you force it, typically it's not going to work. It's not the right time. You don't have the right people. You don't have the right audience. You don't have the amount of money, whatever it is, something is not in alignment. Mm-hmm. And so when you force it, you're pretty much going to just basically toss it in the ocean and swim away. It's just not a thing. It's not ready to be out and out in the market, out in the public, out wherever, whatever you're doing with it. So it's something that I've really learned. No hate for my visionaries, I promise.
Sometimes though, for visionaries, for some of us, the creating the idea and saying it out loud and drawing up a little scrap of paper with it, sometimes it's actually enough to get it out of our system for at least a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay too. Just because you had the idea doesn't ever mean it needs to come to fruition. Sometimes it's just a fun idea. Think of it as a little piece of art you make as a kid. Yeah. You got the crayons out, you did this thing, you show it, and then you just put it back down the pile for now. Yeah. It's not worthy of framing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worthy of turning into greeting cards to send all the family. It's just, you had to get it out of your system. And the good thing is when you do that, sometimes those pieces can come into play for another mm-hmm. thing that's missing a few pieces.
Yep.
So just because you're not using, leave it in the pile. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Like he's saying, shift it around, move it to the front burner, move it back. Whatever your visual is that you need, allow yourself to not force it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you talked about it doesn't mean you have to get it done now. I probably have 7 books that are half started that I've written. Kids books, but they're there. And at the moment they're okay. Cause I took them as far as I could at the moment,
mm-hmm.
to the point that my kids wanted the incomplete projects in a spiral binder. And that was a Christmas gift one time, as far as I could with all my handwritten notes and all my intentions and what I saw happening. And they were fine with that. Cause they love the process.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't look at it all the time, but they hold on to it and they bring it out sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Be a visionary, but have an integrator. Hire specialists that are really key. Go again, I'm just going to go back to love, hate, delegate.
Yep.
Really identify what you're delegating. That allows you to identify whether you need a specialist or a generalist. I'm not a proponent of always hiring a VA first. It happens a lot because it's a natural progression, but hire who you feel is going to move your business forward right now, the most effectively. And it could be your VA, or it could be a social media person. It could be a marketing person. It could be an ops person. It could be a tech person. It could be a fulfillment person. It could be a piece of technology.
Right. Yeah, you can hire different things, and hiring mm-hmm. means different things.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you guys are listening to this whole series. So go back and listen to the first three, because you will love them and you'll be taking notes. And we have notes in the post, and Lainey has handouts and all these great things. So join mm-hmm. us again, subscribe, just so you don't miss an episode. That's all. We know we're not going to go viral, but we do know that we have valuable information. People that listen to us make money. So that's one thing we both know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When people follow the advice, they make money.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
And they have more fun.
Exactly. How could you not without us?
Find us at Rooted in Revenue and all your favorite podcast apps, or go to rootedinrevenue.com. Connect with us on LinkedIn. We are both there and active. We look forward to talking to you soon.
never miss an episode, check out rootedinrevenue.com and subscribe on the site to get weekly updates of when new episodes come out. We'll get you all the information you need to do your best with marketing and your online presence.